Everybody, how you guys doing? I am excited to get this day going. I actually just accidentally closed out a tab that I shouldn't have closed out, if you guys caught that. I don't know, but either way, I'm gonna play this little bit of opening video for you guys, and then we're gonna get into today's story.
Pakistan's largest weapons black market. This is Dara Ademkhel, where foreign-made guns are copied and sold for less than a smartphone.
This is an MP5 pistol. I've been manufacturing these for the past 20 years. The price of this pistol is 7,000 rupees, and it costs 4,500 to make it.
In Gul's family, like others in this town, the skills have been handed down for generations. Trade here boomed in the 80s, as the Mujahideen needed weapons to fight the Soviets next door in Afghanistan. Later, the Taliban and foreign fighters provided a steady stream of business. But things have changed since the Pakistani government launched an offensive against insurgents all over the country.
I had been running my business here for the last 30 years, but our business has plummeted.
I've been selling weapons to terrorists, and now they're all dying, and they're not around anymore.
Army operation, but it has been badly affected.
Checkposts, heightened controls, and heavy police presence are taking their toll. Customers are hesitant to come, and a growing number of shops in the main street now sell groceries and electronic products. And although hundreds of gun shops still cram the surrounding streets, many fear for their future.
There are only about 3,000 shops left. If the government does not do anything, the number will drop from 3,000 to 1,000, and eventually they will shut down and the market will disappear.
Although illegal, the gun trade here has long been tolerated by authorities. And in this tribal area, where gun culture is deeply embedded in male identity, it is seen as a legitimate business. A profession these gun lovers will try to keep alive for as long as they can.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys are ready for today's show. I'm going to get you guys caught up over the last 24 hours of what is going on overseas. U.S. warplanes have begun to move into the theater of operations, which is well within striking distance of Iran. They are pulling straight down into the Middle East as we speak. First, they end up getting spotted about, 36 hours ago, leaving the United States of America, heading over to Europe. And then earlier this morning, probably about 2 to 3 hours ago, we ended up seeing those planes taking off from several different locations and moving down towards the Middle East. Now, what we are tracking is refueling tankers. And how did all this start? Well, it was 30 in total that ended up leaving from U.S. territory before making their way over there. Then, at the same time, we ended up seeing the USS Nimitz making its way from PACOM over into CENTCOM, right? And then the State Department ended up issuing out a warning yesterday that said U.S. citizens unable to leave Iran should be prepared to shelter in place for extended time. Then Hegseth ends up coming out and saying, I have directed the deployment of additional assets into CENTCOM. Now, what people are stating is, or I'm sorry, what Hegseth is stating is that those are being moved over for defense purposes. However, we ended up having Trump coming out and saying everybody should immediately evacuate Tehran. And we've got some interviews coming up from him as well that you're going to, you know what, here, let's just let this one roll.
I told them to do the deal. They shouldn't have done the deal. Their cities have been blown to pieces. They've lost a lot of people. They should have done the deal. I told them, do the deal. So I don't know. I'm not too much in a mood to negotiate now.
Now, if you guys didn't hear what he said, I told them to do the deal when he was asked about Iran and whether or not we're going to continue to negotiate with him. And there is multiple other times over the last 24 hours, he stated that, look, we weren't negotiating with Iran. We just gave them an opportunity. We gave them a deal. They chose not to take the deal. And now Israel's blowing the crap out of them. David Hoffpower says, was it confirmed that the U.S. did drop bombs? No, it has not been confirmed yet. They have not officially came out and said that they were doing it, although all my sources are saying it's happening. Matt McAfee coming in, becoming a true supporter. Greatly appreciate you, brother. Thanks, and welcome to the freaking club. No, they haven't actually came out and stated that that is, in fact, what's been happening. Now, oddly enough, the ballistic missiles have all kind of like slowed down a little bit over that are on their way over into that were fired at Israel, and Israel saying it's because of the Iron Dome and everything else. I got a feeling it's because maybe U.S. military has actually put in some work, but I got some stuff coming up here that's going to give you a little bit different perspective. Israel has actually been targeting a lot of the surface to air missiles and ballistic missiles that are being shot out of Iran. They're actually taking a really good step at it. Now, if you guys think that Trump is always trying to go to war, because some of you guys do, I don't know why, give a listen to Eric Trump about what the president actually has said about this in the past.
Father's been always very direct. I don't want to go to war. I want peace on earth. I'm sick and tired of seeing these young men and women all over the world, innocent civilians. I'm sick and tired of seeing them die. But at the same time, we're going to have the greatest, strongest military on earth. And Sean, if we ever have to use it, we're going to knock the hell out of them. It will be so decisive. It will be over so quickly. I really wish people on the other side of the world were listening to those comments. Now, he's been saying this for a decade, Sean. He's been saying it for a decade. I do not want to go to war. He's been saying it all week. I do not want to go to war. But if I have to, I'm going to knock somebody's head off. And my father does want peace. He was so against Afghanistan. He was so against Iraq. He was so against these endless 20-year battles where you lose thousands and thousands and thousands of incredible young people at the same time spending trillions of dollars, which could otherwise be invested in our schools and our infrastructure and our country, you know. But at the same time, he wants the strongest military where if he actually has to use it to prevent a country from, you know, getting unthinkable weaponry, which will get used against us, which will get used.
So there you go. He's not for going to war, and he's been stating forever that he wants peace, and he's been trying to make a deal. Israelis have been pissed off because Trump's been, I don't even want to use the term negotiate, attempting to get this deal won with Iran so that war ended up not breaking out. But Tehran refuses, absolutely refuses to abide by their agreement, right, not to be doing the things that they've been doing, such as developing nuclear weapons. And that is a major issue because they've been also threatening to blow the United States and Israel off the map. And Trump just basically ended up letting that go. Now, not only, all right, did we have those refueling tankers take off over into the Middle East, the 30 refueling tankers, all right, that are on their way down there right now. Word actually came out this morning that we also have additional F-22s and F-35s that took off to head over into the Middle East just recently here within the last couple of hours. Here's a look at your refueling tankers as they were actually coming out of Europe and began to fly south. You guys can see like this whole freaking like literal train of freaking tankers that are on their way down there. What does that mean? That means that there is going to be some thirsty aircraft in that region in the very near future. A part of me thinks that this might just be a tiny little bit of show of force for them before we end up getting over there, maybe to bring Iran down to its knees. But in an interview, the Israeli, I want you guys to hear this, the Israeli, all right, ambassador to the United States had some really key insights for something that might be taking place this week, and we're seeing some of those first steps already coming out.
We've pulled off a number of surprises. When the dust settles, you're going to see some surprises on Thursday night and Friday that will make the beeper operation almost seem simple. We've pulled off a number of surprises.
Did you guys hear what this man said? He said they're pulling off a number of surprises, and there's going to be something that makes the beeper gate from last year basically look like child's play, meaning that Israel has a bunch of stuff in the works that's going to be coming out that you're going to see it late Thursday going into Friday. And he's speaking over here in the U.S. to U.S. news sources, which means that's going to be local time for us. So Thursday evening going to Friday, supposedly Mossad's got something in store that's going to be coming out, and clearly they don't even care because it's going to happen. Now, Defense Minister Katz ended up coming out. So Israeli Defense Minister Katz says, today we are about to strike very significant targets, strategic, governmental, and infrastructure inside of Tehran. The IDF spokesperson will issue an evacuation call in Persian. There is over 10 nuclear targets in Tehran area. We are on the verge of destroying them. Fordow is also a matter that will certainly be addressed. So now Israel is promising that they're going to address Fordow today. I don't know if Israel actually has the capability to go that far down in there. Now, this is something that's really interesting that ended up popping up, and I think this is what is going in with the Mossad agents. I want you guys to check this out. ATMs over inside of Iran have basically ran dry. Look at this. This guy's just walking around and going over there. Well, allegedly, there is a hacker group, okay, that is associated with Mossad that went into the banking system that the IRGC uses and essentially shut everything down. People can't access money over there right now. I also saw a bunch of water pipes that ended up getting blasted and struck. And so, allegedly, now there's a water shortage taking place over in Tehran as well. It's pretty bad. The statement that ended up coming out about this incident, all right? Oh, where'd it go? Oh, I lost it. Where'd it go? Give it back. Come back to me. Oh, oh, there it is. Nope. Oh, my Lord, today. Oh, it's just one of those. There it is. The hacker group is known as the Predatory Shadow, all right? It's affiliated with Israeli security element and Mossad and a couple of, like, everybody's throwing all sorts of words of who it is out there. But what their statement is: in a cyber operation, we destroyed all the data infrastructure of a bank affiliated with Iran's IRGC. This is a bank that was used by the IRGC to circumvent international sanctions and to finance terrorism from the accounts of the Iranian people. The bank financed Iran's proxy forces to the Middle East, or excuse me, through the Middle East, the regime's missile program and its nuclear program. This is the fate of the institution dedicated to preserving the dictator's terrorist fantasy. So if you actually listen to that statement and why they ended up shutting down that banking system where civilians can no longer access money, it's because Iran and the IRGC were laundering money through it through other people's accounts and sending it off to terror organizations in an attempt to hide it. So it ended up getting shut down. So now nobody over there can get it. Yesterday morning, I ended up showing you guys a little flyer that was like, you know, or not a flyer, it was like a little post-it card, right, that somebody was holding on to that they had handwritten, and they had said, like, please bomb the Iranian state media and also kill Khamenei, that'd be great. And then shortly thereafter, this video actually ended up coming out. آنچه که ملاحظه کردید، صدایی که شنیدید، فضای غبارآلود استادیوم Yeah, that's a real video, man. Like, that's actually real. Like, that happened. I don't know if you guys saw that, but she's literally talking about how bombs aren't going to hurt him and all this other crap, and boom, bombs start falling on top of the building. Now, that is not the only report of the media getting struck. It actually looks like that is one of the things that have been taking place over there, and I think I have some more videos coming up here in a little bit when I start going over Tehran. They're going to show you some more of these things that actually ended up getting blown up. Kenneth, U.S. Navy is moving the USS Carl Vinson and the Nimitz carrier strike groups to the Persian Gulf. Both will be helping each other, confirmed by the U.S. Navy. Yeah, right. So if I was to pull this up on a map real quick, let me grab this, because the last mark location that I had from the Carl Vinson that the Navy put out, let me grab this. I'll just pull up a map and show you guys, because I always need the maps as we go through this crap anyways. So the Carl Vinson actually hasn't really left that region at all. I mean, it just hasn't gone anywhere. Middle East. Oh, man, I went all the way over to China, and I've got some stuff marked on the map, allegedly from Ukraine over here, so there's that. All right, so last I checked, the Carl Vinson was sitting right over here off the Gulf of Oman, just floating over here off the coast, like right, I hope you guys can see that, blow it up nice and big. It was sitting like right over here off like the freaking corner of it over in the Gulf of Oman. So when the Carl Vinson gets over there, cool, they can go hand in hand, and they can start working together. It's going to be awesome. Good on them. Like, I look forward to our Navy doing what the Navy does. I pray that nobody gets injured. As I sit here and I talk about this stuff, I do remember, and I had a thought last night, took me back to when I was in war, and I mean, if we end up getting U.S. casualties, it was just a dark freaking moment in my freaking head, thinking about U.S. casualties and stuff over there. Now, I told you guys that Iran is reporting that it was able to start capturing some of these Mossad agents that were running around over inside of Iran, but they never actually came out and gave evidence and or gave proof. Now, a video has just surfaced, allegedly, that's showing an IED/drone factory of some of these Mossad agents after they got captured. I also saw something yesterday that said one of them got hung. They didn't even give him a trial, anything else. They literally just hung the guy.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم با توجه دستگیری متهم در داخل کمد متهم اقوام الکترونیک جهت ساخت انفجار تمام آلات ساخت مواد منفجره کارتونایی که حاوی گوگرد و سایل وسایل جهت ساخت بمب هستن
از 10 سال بیشتر توی اینترنت گشتم دنبال آموزش ها.
So allegedly, this is one of the Mossad agents that came out and is confessing that that's what the operation is. I know a lot of you guys aren't going to be able to hear a lot of this crap, but he ends up sitting there. I didn't have time to get it translated this morning. It is basketball time for my kids, so I'm taking them to basketball camp. That's why you guys got a little bit of a later stream today. Now, political prisoners. There was a massive prison break yesterday over inside of Tehran. And there is just people. Let me show you guys this real quick. I'll just show you the people aimlessly walking down the street. It doesn't really matter. You guys see all these people walking down the street now. Allegedly, these prisoners had some sort of a riot, revolt, something of that nature. All the guards left. Every single guard left. There was no guards left inside of this prison. According to these people that are walking down the street that folks ended up grabbing and talking to and everything else, they just abandoned their post. And that's how these people got out. And they, like, Iran doesn't even have the ability to get out and go look for them right now. They're so dang busy. Kenneth says, this reminds me of the 1970s USS Liberty incident. What could stop history from repeating itself and seeing it repeat in the Persian Gulf? Well, Kenneth, that's actually a really good question. I'm glad you brought that up. USS Liberty wasn't actually a marked ship. It was actually designed as a spy vessel, so it didn't even look like a military ship. In fact, there's only two 50 caliber machine guns that were actually on that boat, and they're removable to take on and off the wall. U.S. had also told, all right, and this came out of Europe when they were coordinating, the U.S. had also told Israel that all of our ships had made it X amount of miles off the coast. And it wasn't until that Israel ended up spotting it. Okay, so now Israel comes out and spots and goes, are you sure? And the U.S. goes, oh, yep, my bad. That might be one of our spy ships. Let's get it the heck out of there. So Israel takes it, puts it up on the plotting board, and then as per SOP back then when that happened, they ended up having a shift changeover. That information ended up going stale, so they took the stale information off the board, so here's your human error, and then started bombing the crap out of the freaking ship whenever somebody spotted it. It eventually got shut down. Israel eventually came out. This is what is known as collateral damage in warfare. Collateral damage is a huge problem. It happens all the time. And for some reason, people like to bring this up as if it's some sort of a freaking smoking gun that Israel hates the United States of America. And I use this reference all of the time. Just because the 75th Ranger Regiment killed Pat Tillman doesn't mean the 75th Ranger Regiment is not loyal to the United States of America. That is one of the most ridiculous arguments that people can make. It is so low on the intellectual scale that people try to come out and say that, oh, the USS Liberty, like, you're a freaking knucklehead if that's actually what you think. Now, technology has improved since then. Information sharing has improved since then. Our intelligence network information sharing has improved since then. All of these things have improved. However, we still have blue-on-blue incidents, i.e. U.S. military on U.S. military incidents, all of the time. We screw these things up a lot. Even during the invasion of Iraq, like, this was screwed up and we had casualties and deaths because of this. So every time people bring that up, like, y'all need to go study warfare, man. Amertintz 777 coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you. Jackie Buchanan becoming a true supporter. Thank you very much. Tom Bones says they call it the fog of war for a reason. Yep, nailed it, Tom Bones. Thank you very much. It is 1000% the fog of war. Now, allegedly, Israel has been striking the refinery area over inside of Isfahan. Now, they say that this is the refinery area, but that doesn't mean, all right, because it is Isfahan, that doesn't mean that there's not some other locations over there that are kind of a problem, i.e. Iran's got other facilities that nobody ended up bringing it up. D. Hexian coming in with 5. He says, hey, Matt, great work. You are doing Red Jeremiah 49 verses 34 to 39. It fits everything that's occurring. Nuke event in southwest Iran alum. I don't know about a nuclear event that had taken place or might take place over there. I also don't think that we're looking at end times or anything of that nature right now. Brian Two Toes says, my brother's a chief on subs and has been in the area for a while now. Not heard from him in a week typically means he's submerged and on mission, as he says. Yeah, it is absurd that people don't think that the U.S. already has their nuke subs over there in the region, just camped down at the bottom of the Persian Gulf, monitoring pretty much everything that's going on throughout there. Where it's sitting, I have no idea, but I bet you it's already down there, just camping out, waiting, monitoring traffic, seeing what's going on. Two Navy vessels actually ended up colliding over past the Persian Gulf over in the Strait of Hormuz earlier today. They're on fire. Did some research and looked back into them. It's not even worth really bringing it up, showing videos, talking about it. Neither of those ships have any connection. They both collided into each other. One's on fire. People are dead. It's burning, whatever. Neither of those ships have connections to this conflict, what's going on, Israel, anything of that nature, just off face value of what I could see when I just looked it up a little bit ago. Here is some more videos coming out of Tehran. Yeah, buddy. Lots of stuff has been exploding over there. Following that warning yesterday, Trump told everybody to get out, and those highways were just jam-packed left and right. We also have bombs falling in the major portions of the city over inside of Tehran as well. Like actual urban populated areas, still bombs falling. You can see plenty of stuff on fire. Now, Israel did say that there's numerous new facilities, okay, new uranium enrichment facilities that they have discovered over outside of Tehran, like a good handful of them, that they're going to be bombing here over the next 24 hours. So bombing inside of Tehran is expected to increase. The troll accounts are acting like the sky is falling. I don't know what they have to pretend that the sky is falling for. I mean, no sky is falling, but the skies are definitely lit up over there and people continue to die. I mean, that's just nature of the beast, man. Check that out. There's your whole skyline just lit up. Pretty sure that is the exact same site from the last video, just of a different angle. And they are continuing. This one is coming out of, let me make sure this is right. This one is coming out of Tehran. This is a newer video, ended up coming out not that long ago, man. I think it was, just 2 hours or so ago about some of these strikes that are taking place over there. Let me get this sucker up on your screen. Oh, stop it.
Go on, man.
Yeah, of course trolls are going to troll. What else are trolls going to do? That's all they're good for is trolling. Here's some more stuff blowing up. You got to love things just blowing up over inside of Tehran. Kind of serves them right. You could hear some of the secondary explosions that were taking place over in that last video. So I have no idea what they ended up striking at this location. I just know that they've been hammering downtown and the outskirts of Tehran really hard the last 24 hours. The mountainsides, I saw a video yesterday and I lost it. I wish I had it. Of the, what do you want to call them? The ICBM crews that were just in a big line, like heading up into the mountains to go launch these things. And I think that's why Israel's starting to concentrate on them. Obviously, we know that Iran's got a bunch of these freaking ICBMs that are hidden in the tunnel systems. And a lot of those tunnel systems end up going through those different mountain ranges that they have. Come out of those mountain ranges, go over, set up in their position, and get ready to launch, and they just send everything out. So they are crushing them. Here is another look at the skyline of Tehran. Came out just a couple hours ago. As you guys can see, lots of stuff still freaking over there, still exploding. Bombs are still falling. Like I said, this is going to take several weeks. I mean, at least like 4 to 5 days worth of bombing if the U.S. was involved, but now it's unilaterally Israel until the U.S. ends up getting involved here officially. And what that means is, I think for Doe, when you looked at the foreign minister that ended up coming out saying, hey, look, we haven't forgot about for Doe, like that's still on our chopping block. I would almost bet that that's going to be one of the first targets the U.S. actually does go after. Incog Faraday coming in, gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. Greatly appreciate you, my friend. All right. So why is it that everything has started falling off and ballistic missiles have kind of started lighting up over inside of Israel? Well, the Israeli Air Force kind of shifted their tactics a little bit for the way that they're conducting business over there. Instead of going directly after a lot of these sites, and like, as you've seen, they actually shifted focus because Tel Aviv and Haifa have been getting slammed lately. They actually shifted focus of their like priority targets. And now they're taking out these launchers as they're coming up. And Israel ended up releasing several videos today. I'm about to put up on your screen. They're going to show you these different launchers that are getting hit by the Israeli Air Force as they're on their way to go over and take out people. It's the same thing that I was telling you guys about with that video of those vehicles that were traveling up and through the mountains. You could hear the dudes that were screaming like, dude, get away from these vehicles, get away, like get ready, get prepared, whatever. It's absolutely insane. Israel is picking up on these things as they're moving them over and they're just striking them down. They're saying that Israel ended up taking out 1/3 of their launchers. They are gone. So they think that they have taken out, or they estimate that they have destroyed 1/3, all right, of the launchers. Now, these guys were actually shooting surface-to-air missiles and launching drones. Israeli Air Force ended up spotting where they were shooting them from. And what you're about to see up here on the screen is these guys that were shooting surface-to-air missiles, all right, looks like manpad, like shoulder launch, freaking surface-to-air missiles, and they end up getting an airstrike called in on them. Check that out. There they are sitting right there. You end up seeing them, I believe, launch one, if this is the right video, if I remember it correctly. see him launch some SAMs, and then followed by, boom, airstrike. So there's your SAMs going off. And bada bing, bada boom. They gone. If they still in there, they ain't happy. That's, I mean, look at that. I mean, that's just a hell of a freaking shot, man. That's a really good strike. So that's what they have kind of directed their priorities of fires for right now. But obviously, with things still exploding in downtown Tehran, they're still going after some of those. I'm going to show you guys a time lapse of Tabriz. Now, Tabriz has been getting hit pretty hard as well. Another nuke site out there. And I want you guys to take a look at this time lapse video. It just does a good job showing you the destruction of those buildings over the last like couple days. There you can see where they're basically just opened all the way up and emptied out. Look at that. That's pretty freaking rad, man. So nice targeted strikes, destroying the buildings. And even this little one down here off the side looks like ended up getting hit as well. And it looked like maybe there was some destruction. Yeah, if you look right here, you can see a vehicle or something that's been blown up all the way down here in the bottom left corner right outside of that building. I have no idea what it is. I haven't studied it that much. Don't really care to, because this is just going to have all sorts of crap. This is the aerial defense systems coming at you guys from Israel, actually doing their job and shooting things out of the sky. That's an awesome interception video. I love that to death. Should also have coming up here in just a little bit a Shahid drone that was on its way over into Israel, and it ends up getting chased down by, if I remember right, it was an Apache, and it's going to get blasted out of the sky. I got that video coming up for you. Until then, I want you to listen to the spokesperson from the IDF.
We've seen great success in the last 48 hours hunting those missiles. More than a third of their missile launchers we have been able to eliminate. We have been able, in many dozens of occasions, to find those missiles in real time in Iran. We're intercepting them in Iran now and not intercepting them above our skies, because we have created the freedom of aerial operation in many parts of Iranian skies, and we are locating and neutralizing those threats to our people.
Now, the funny part to me about this, and there's nothing funny about war and there's nothing funny about people dying, Israel actually intended and planned for worst case scenario of 5,000 people being killed in retaliatory attacks by Iran. I'll say that again, 5,000 people being killed. So far, we're looking at about 500 wounded and 24 dead, maybe 27. It kind of depends on which report you're looking at. So while that is tragic within itself, those 20 plus people that have lost their lives over inside of Israel, it is a testament, right, to the actual military capabilities of this country. Those ballistic missiles that are shot at them and that type of a volley, and that, like, by the hundreds of these things have been shot down, and the fact that only 24 people, that's a testament of how well that system is working. From talking to people over on the ground inside of Israel, they told me that while they are not happy that this is taking place, they are understanding and basically accepting of it, that everybody over there understands it needs to happen because Iran is a very real threat. So the Israelis understand that as it goes. Americans, not so much. They really don't, and I don't know why. Here is, like I said, the Shahid drone that is getting smacked down by a freaking helicopter. That's pretty cool. I mean, this guy got that out just in time, was able to pick up on the Shahid flying by. And then you see the Apache kind of off in the distance, ends up firing a freaking rocket at it, and boom, she gone. John Wilson coming in, gifting out 2-0 Speak the Truth memberships, just blessing the chat, baby. Thank you, John. Greatly appreciate you, my friend. Thank you guys very much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate, love this community, everything that we've been able to do and everything that we've been able to build over here. Love the fact that you guys are all coming in and doing that stuff. It just really, really makes my day. I can't bring that up enough. Now, Mossad headquarters, allegedly, I don't want to say Mossad headquarters, a building allegedly associated with Mossad, all right, ended up getting struck. It's Unit 8200, okay, is reportedly the name of this particular unit. I need to do a little bit more research into this. But the IRGC ended up claiming good effective strikes on this particular target, which I'm about to show you here in a second. And following these videos that I'm about to put up, I'm going to let you guys know that it looks like Israel actually turned off all of the CCTVs over inside of Israel, or has ordered for them to be shut down. So if you guys like watching the CCTVs over there, be prepared, because all of those are likely already offline. I haven't checked yet. Oh my goodness. That's tragic, says, instead of Pagergate, if Israel managed to pull off the goat gate and get all of the goats, would that break Iran's morale and ability to continue? Maybe the IRGCs, but the people of Iran, believe it or not, I have actually seen a lot of videos of them standing up and revolting in one way or another, whether or not that's females taking off their hijab, whether or not that's people screaming in the streets, whether or not that's people that are storming the streets. I always see little isolated instances of this occurring, and it's estimated that upwards of 70% of the people over inside of Iran don't exactly like the Iranian regime. And they're just counting and waiting for all this crap to end. They've just been in power for so long, and they just can't wait for this crap to get over. Here is another video of that headquarters building. All right, you guys can see it pretty dang well. Ended up getting hit. And now, truthfully, I couldn't tell you whether or not that's actually the building. People on the ground are saying that's what it is. Other reporting saying that's exactly what's happening. Here is another view. And they, again, Tehran said that they were going after military intelligence units, nuke sites and things like that, that they say that Israel ends up having. This one is supposedly like a warehouse used for and by Israeli intelligence. Stu says that we are seeing surgical strikes. Yeah, I mean, Tehran has been able, like Iran has been able to get anybody that tells you that it's not happening or that Israel's skies are perfectly secure is full of crap. They're absolutely full of garbage. Israel is still vulnerable, and that is why they are doing what they're doing going over there. Now, while we're talking about Israel, I know we talked about the tunnel that was actually found underneath the European hospital in Khan Yunis. Now, most of the time when Israel ends up coming across these different tunnels, I don't want you guys to forget that the war is still going on over inside Gaza and even over inside of Ukraine. That sucker's still raging on. They had a massive attack inside of Ukraine today where they ended up blowing the crap out of a bunch of apartment buildings over in Kyiv. But when we get into this and we start talking about it, those tunnels that went underneath the European hospital, Israel wasn't able to blow them up because they'd be blowing up the hospital. It's also probably not good for the freaking foundation over there. So Israel came up with a very good idea. This is Israel putting in 250 cubic yards of concrete to seal those tunnels off. So all they did was pump them full of concrete. Now, I have no idea how you get that much concrete to flow in a dang tunnel like that, but that's exactly what they ended up doing. Like, that is a buttload of trucks. I mean, you just got to have truck after truck after truck after truck going in there and dumping those dang things off. I mean, that is just disgusting. It kind of reminds me of like a scene from like Ghostbusters, from like the original movie. I mean, it's mesmerizing to watch that crap happen. So the IDF is keeping up operations over inside Gaza, but they also opened up a new one over inside of the West Bank. All right, so be on the lookout. I told you guys that you are going to have multiple issues going on over in this region. All right, you've got Gaza, which is one thing, then you have the West Bank, which is the other, then you have Hezbollah up in Lebanon that's going to be iffy. All right, after that operation, allegedly the Lebanese government and international forces are taking care of that. We'll see how that ends up panning out. But Israel is now starting to flex troops and move over into Gaza. Why is this important? Not into Gaza, into the West Bank. Why is this important? Well, because Israel ended up calling up all of their reserve troops to active duty. This is what I have been told. They're calling up all the reserve troops over into active duty. And now we've got new troop movements that are going into the West Bank. So is Israel launching a brand new operation to start clearing out the West Bank? Because they have to. Taking care of Gaza is one thing, but if you want to secure Israel all of the way, you also got to take all the dang terrorists out of the West Bank, right? So this is, if this is a step off or a kickoff to the next operation, it's the perfect time for them to be doing it while the world is busy paying attention to Iran and the war that's going over there. At least in my opinion, they can actually start kicking this thing off and slow rolling it out. If they would have done this before these strikes, before all this crap actually took place, the world would be on fire. They would be pissed, screaming that the Israelis are picking on the poor old Palestinians again. So that's what they got going on. Let me go back in here because apparently I missed some chat messages. I want to make sure I get all of them. You guys, give me a second because everything is still loading up. I don't know what's going on with YouTube right now, but the backside of it's operating just a little bit slower today. I'm trying to get in there right now and it's loading. Stu says that there were surgical strikes. That's right, John Wilson and Cog. I feel like I've seen them all. I feel like I got all those messages, man. Did I miss something? I feel like I got them all. No, I'm looking over them. I've read everything that ended up coming through. Yeah, I ended up reading everything that ended up coming through. I'll like them and stuff like that to kind of like keep tabs on where they're at. So apologies if you did donate and it didn't come through, but I'm looking and it looks like I had read everything. I want you guys to listen to this guy whining and complaining about what's going on.
Ballistic missile fire. You've seen how these ballistic missiles have just shredded the Iron Dome, the THAAD system, the Patriot system, all the things. It's David Sling, all those capabilities. Those missiles are just going right through it. Most of our troops in the Middle East don't even have that much. If we go to war with Iran, they're going to hit the most vulnerable targets they can, and that's those troops over there. We should not put their lives at unnecessary risk to do something we don't need to do anywhere. Our security is already guaranteed. We have more than enough power and more than enough force to keep our assets clean and safe everywhere in the Middle East and, in fact, all around the world right now. We don't need a war to keep us safe.
Lieutenant Colonel, just to be clear, you're saying that the U.S. missile defense systems in the region, air and sea-based, as long as the Iron Dome, are not that effective against the Iranian ballistic missiles? They haven't been intercepting most of them?
Most of them getting through? A lot of the American technology is what goes into the Iron Dome system and the Patriot system, the THAAD system. They're all there right now, and they're all being inadequate for this threat. The threat from the Iranian ballistic missiles is better than what the defense can pick up, including our own stuff.
Yeah, I want to talk about some fear-mongering and just lack of total stupidity and how everything works. Dude, just because they get through, like, I don't know why everybody expects this system to be perfect. It's never perfect, man. Like, for crying out loud, even the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and all of these little tiny terror organizations, even over in the Middle East, after being there for a decade and having really established forward operating bases with all sorts of aerial defense systems, they would still get mortars and rockets through and slam into those bases over there all of the time. And those have some of the best aerial defense systems. It's just the way this works, ladies and gentlemen. John Wilson asked, Matt, did you hear about that Vance Bolter character from Minnesota who murdered two lawmakers and got attempted murder charges for two others? He apparently had a list of over 70 lawmakers. Yes, I was following that and tracking it as well. Have been looking into it, but have been a little bit busy with the protests and all of this crap that's now popped off over in the Middle East. So I haven't really had a chance to dive too deep into those things. But here's what I do know is I read over his warrant or his affidavit for arrest. And after the first house got hit, the police were like, okay, this is weird. Heard the reports about him being in uniform, having lights and stuff like that on his car. Inside of his car, I believe he actually had an AK pistol, another pistol within him, within that vehicle. And then he obviously had one on him. Went to the second house, did the exact same thing at that time. Then the police ended up sending law enforcement officials over to all of the different residents of potential targets that they could think of. When law enforcement pulled up to one of those residents, they actually spotted the guy, got in a shootout with him. He took off running. They later found, and this is the part about it that weirds me out. They later found, and it's in the affidavit, if you guys can go find it and you can read it, they later found his pistol disassembled and basically chucked. So if that's the case, then this guy, I don't know why he would field strip his pistol and chuck it. The only reasonable explanation I can come up with is he didn't want children to pick it up and hurt themselves, maybe. It just doesn't make any sense. Or maybe he's throwing random parts, hoping people aren't going to find it and report it. I don't know. It's kind of silly to me. But somebody that's that cold and calculated, and I did hear that he was on the staff of Mike Waltz, all of that crap. I haven't gone over and verified any of it and looked into it because, truthfully, it's a little bit lower on the priority list. But still, yeah, it's an issue that needs to be looked into. Let's see here. MT says, did Iran really take out the 8200 building? That is what I'm hearing, and that is allegedly what that video was that I was showing a little bit earlier. David Hoffpower, Matt, is it true that the U.S. are the only ones with planes that can carry the bunker busters needed to get 100 meters into Granite? So you're talking about the 30,000-pound MOP bunker buster. Yeah, Israel doesn't have the ability to carry that freaking bomb, but the U.S. does. And, you know, it's, I don't even know if that sucker is going to penetrate 100 meters deep into granite, to be perfectly honest with you. I've had a lot of experience trying to blow up caves with airstrikes, just regular ones that are like there on the surface, and you end up putting in like thermobaric munitions and freaking tow missiles and all this other crap, dude. You try to detonate these things from the air. That was the purpose. A lot of people don't know this. That was actually the purpose of the mother of all bombs going off over in that one region in Afghanistan when that got dropped. You had an estimated, which I am going to let you know right now, it's not, I don't think it was true, 70 ISIS fighters ended up getting killed when the mother of all bombs, 22,000 pound airburst munition, ended up going off over that region. And the goal was to basically collapse the caves and infrastructure that were over there. The problem is, all right, understanding explosive theory and how all that crap works, it didn't collapse them, all right? But overpressure and all that stuff did absolutely kill some people. Was it as many as they said? I'm not entirely sure, to be perfectly honest with you. But the destruction over there isn't exactly like, I remember walking through it and being like, this isn't... I expected a lot more out of this place, you know, like I expect a lot more from this bomb. Like I wanted a little bit more of it. Echo Root, watch Drew Binksy's Iran vlog. The people are amazing, friendly, open, and nothing like the anti-American image pushed by their government. That's interesting. Denny Sonic says Mossad responded to the hit. Good. No one was there because we are all in Iran. Oh, man. I'm sorry to hear about that, Danny. MT, did Iran really take out the 8200 building? Allegedly, from what I have heard, that's what was reported. TL says Daniel Davis is a Russian shill and Douglas McGregor's lover. That one surprised me at all either. Yeah, I think a lot of these people that are motivated, and if you guys missed it, Netanyahu actually in a news interview yesterday admitted that he told Donald Trump that they had intelligence that said that the attempted assassin, both of them, were actually connected to Iran. Why is that important, ladies and gentlemen? Why? Why? Because you're talking about online recruiting. It's the same dang thing that I've been telling you for a while. You can find nut jobs over here in the United States. They can pretend to work for Ukraine. They can pretend to be Ukrainian intelligence. They can pretend to be Ukrainian soldiers, whoever. And Iran is posing as these people online. And we saw that pretty freaking hard with the dude from down inside Florida, all right, that tried to kill Trump on the golf course. What reason I say this is because if you went over to his Facebook profile and you were going through his old posts and things like that, what you would see is him trying to recruit people to join for Ukraine. And he would take the names and he'd go over to a website and he'd post their names openly in public, thinking that he was doxing these people to, or not doxing, or giving these people's names over to Ukraine so that they could come into the country and start fighting. In reality, what he's doing is he's doxing everybody. That's not the way Ukraine recruits for their military. That's not how they collect information. It just doesn't work that way. But that's what that guy was doing earlier on. So that right there ought to tell you that he was likely working for a foreign intelligence service unwittingly, didn't know. And he likely got motivated to go over there and do it. And when you look at the time frame of when he initially inserted into the bushes and the time frame of when they decided that they were going to go play golf, which was like 8, 9 o'clock the night before. And then the guy inserts into the freaking bushes at like 1:30 a.m. and sits there all night waiting for Trump the next day. There is no way that guy was privy to that information. That is some serious intelligence collection that somebody conducted and gave him the information to go over there. So when Netanyahu says that Iran did it, and I got to go back through the videos. I'm pretty sure I said Iran is likely the culprit for it as well, because when Trump comes in, like this, right, is going to be the result when Trump gets into office, just because of how Iran is. You can just predict how those cards are going to fall. They wanted to take him out so that they could keep their influence over the region. It's just how it's going down, man. I don't know how else to tell you guys that. Davilio says, hey brother, just call me Davi. Well, I wish I would have read that part first. All right, Davi. Excellent reporting. Just remember, positive results without making excuses. May you have peace. Thank you. Demonic says, lunch on me today, Matt. I know you're busy, dude. I really appreciate that donation, man. That's huge. Thank you very much for that. You guys are very generous and I love you guys to death. Looking forward to, like, with the growth that this channel is starting to see and how we're progressing forward, look forward to building out the studio, getting some more guests in here, and taking care of that stuff. You guys are going to love some of the stuff that I have lined for you, that's coming up here in the future. These are the warnings. In case you guys missed it, these are the warnings that the Trump admin ended up putting out to Iran. And it's pretty freaking crazy that the White House and Trump and everybody ends up retweeting this information and putting it out there. So what we're expecting for this week, and I'm going to go over to the Discord and I'm going to open that sucker up because I do want to hear from you guys today. If you guys want to hear from me, jump over into our Discord server. If you're a true supporter, you can go over and you can find it in our posts. You got to be a true supporter in order to see those posts. And you should see What you should see. Ooh, I think it's that one. Let's try that. What you should see over underneath the posts is a members-only post that will give you the link to get your butt over in the Discord server so you guys can come up and we can actually have a discussion on this. I'm going in there right now to have a live discussion. I got a feeling we're going to hear from Texas today, which would be kind of nice to hear about some of the stuff that's going on over inside of Ukraine, because I didn't even have the time to touch on it this morning with my little fatherly duties that I'm currently partaking in. But I do want to hear from you guys. I want to hear your opinions. I want to hear your questions. I want to know exactly what y'all are thinking. So get your butts over in the Discord and let's actually have a discussion about it. I'm waiting for hands to be raised. I'm currently up over in there right now waiting on you guys to jump in. So if you guys want to join in on the session, get in there. Nate Vance, if you're listening, dude, I would love to hear from you on this. I know I've been sucking as a friend lately. Just been busy as hell, bud. Just been absolutely busy as hell. So come on in here. I want to hear it. Raise your hands. Ask questions. Let's get this freaking crap done. Do you guys think that the U.S. is justified in the bombing of Iran? If so, why? Are you pissed? Are you tired of it? Do you not want to see this happening anymore? All of these are great questions. I'd love to be able to discuss with you guys. Denny coming in. He says, Matt, is it true that North Korea said that if the USA gets involved, it's a green light for them to attack Israel? No, that's not something that I've seen, not something that I've heard officially. I've heard it being rumored that that's what they ended up saying, but I don't necessarily think that that's true. Texas, what's up, brother?
Oh, there's a lot going on, you know. But yeah, I agree with pretty much everything you said about pretty much the three subjects, about the whole Middle East, Iran thing. I don't know how people are switching up now, though. Now that Trump is kind of on the side of like, you know what, I gave them time, they didn't want to listen, maybe it's time to actually do something about it, and people are like, even people that are pro Trump this whole time, mm-hmm. and pro like, yeah, let's because it's like, because Israel's involved in a way, they're like, oh wait, we have to not, no Trump, you can't do that. Trump has said he promised no more wars, and now he's talking about going into another war or whatever. I don't know. I think that it's a lot of crazy yeah. statements came out in the last 24 hours.
Well, it's not even
Trump made a statement about Tulsi Gabbard.
Right.
I don't think she knows what she's talking about. She's your national security advisor. I don't care if she has that title. I don't care if you like her or not. You gave her that title. You appointed her to that position.
That's right.
And you're saying, I don't think she knows what she's talking about. And then you have the statement of people are like, oh, Netanyahu just said that he has the evidence of Trump was Iran was trying to assassinate Trump twice through proxies.
Yeah.
But people are like, nah, he's just saying that because he's trying to get Trump to join the war. I don't know. I think it's time to just absolutely just finish it. Just it's been 40 years. This whole Iran joke has been 40 years. Just end it. It's not that complicated. It's like it's easier to do a regime change in Iran right now than it is in any other Middle Eastern place around with that the United States ever had to get involved, because the people of Iran want to change.
And I think the regime change is actually coming. Netanyahu hinted towards it yesterday, and the news of the Kurds kind of like mounting up. I don't know if you heard what I had to say about this last night,
yeah.
but you've got the news of the Kurds that are mounting up, getting ready to go and cross the border over into Iran. Rumors that they're going to be led by USSF. And then you have our aircraft that are moving into the region, which would make sense because you would want, if there is SOF attached to them, and if the Kurds are working on behalf of the United States government or Israel, that they would have air support. That's just one of the things that we typically do. So you end up embedding the team guys with them to go out and control and conduct that. That to me signifies that there is likely going to either A, be a regime change, or B, it's at least motivation to start getting them there. That prison being abandoned, all of the people rolling out of Tehran, the people that have been riding in the streets that quickly get shut down, all of that crap, the women standing up and ripping their hijabs off, being like, we're not putting up with this crap anymore. That's all signs that it's about to come. And I think if this news about Khamenei, it ends up being true that he's dead, I heard that they missed. So I saw the answer come down in the chat, but I heard that they missed killing the Ayatollah. But he's been really quiet. The only thing I've heard come out of him since it was rumored that he ended up getting killed was one tweet that ended up getting put out yesterday. And I know he's not the only one that manages that account. So I'm still waiting on some proof of life coming out from Kamini.
I mean, the guy's 86 years old. I don't think he manages any account.
Dude, you know what, man? That guy puts out some of the most... I disagree. I think Kamini sits there and angry tweets. There? Yeah, I think him and Trump sit back and just angry tweet all of the time.
I don't know.
Or he at least tells people.
Switching over subject real quick about Ukraine. Obviously, you know, Ukraine was hit this morning quite hard, and mainly residential apartment buildings were bombed and drones attacked. As of right now, the death count is 16 confirmed, and a lot still missing, and over 70 are injured, and some of them in critical. And there is, unfortunately, an American citizen who is not military, nor was ever military, a 62-year-old American citizen that was killed while he was sleeping in his apartment or in the apartment he was staying in his bed. So there's no word of that right now. There was, while all of this was going on in the middle of the night, I guess Trump was on the plane and somebody was asking him about it, and he was asking when, and they said right now, just recent. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look into that." I mean, it's kind of getting ridiculous. Like,
well,
this whole like pulling assets, especially air defense assets, and doing these things where it's kind of like biting on his own words. He said, "Oh yeah, we'll do a minerals deal, and then the U.S. business interests and stuff will automatically be protected." Well, Boeing's HQ, like their Ukrainian office building, mm-hmm. like their place of business in this region, was bombed. Like, Boeing is an American company. It's not has nothing to do with Ukraine. It's an American company that has business in Ukraine. It's just like they have business all over the world. They have a corporate office here, and it was bombed. And do you see anybody talking about it? Like, why? I don't know. I think it's sad because Ukraine is doing really good progress in certain areas on the in the conflict, like in the actual battlefield. Like, they're doing some really good progress in the east. They've liberated a couple of villages. Russia's spring offensive in the east around Kharkiv and Sumy has failed. They've pushed over 50,000 soldiers that direction, and they can't break through even the first line of defense.
That's why I brought up that choke point they were being pushed into. I'm like, they're getting it freaking slammed. Like, they are
getting slammed, and their responses to that is bombing these
civilian
these
infrastructure and people.
Did you see the video of 4 o'clock this morning over a residential complex? And there's not even a commercial. Maybe you can say that's a factory for something there. It's a literal residential community of big apartment buildings.
You're talking about the one with the drone that just goes...
No, not that one. That's also really sad. That's like a 9/11 drone straight into the building. No, yeah. I'm talking about a KH-101, cruise missile popping and releasing clusters. And then the mayor of Kyiv literally walking... Yes. Like, this morning, he's walking around picking up these cluster shells and showing... Klitschko, the mayor of Kyiv,
got it right here.
These cluster shells cannot penetrate even a roof building. They are meant and designed to cause civilian or human casualties.
So those
are
actually
not designed.
So let me talk about these little suckers for a minute. Those are, all right, what are called submunitions, and those are frag submunitions, and they have an all-way acting fuse inside of them. So you hit the ground, and they end up. You have like a 30% dud rate, sometimes down to 50 or 60% dud rate, depending on like the year of these Soviet munitions that they're actually coming out of. They're really shitty. And the problem is that if you go over, you kick them, you pick them up, because of the fuse that's inside of there, they can also remain deadly. So you can pick that sucker up, shake it.
No, you're talking about the butterflies.
No, I'm talking, no, not the That's butterflies, not the butterflies.
You're talking about actual, the round balls.
I'm talking about these submunitions that are currently up on the screen, all right, that ended up getting dropped.
Oh, I didn't see the screen. Oh, yeah. Right?
Like, if you look over the YouTube feed, I don't know why it's not popular over on Discord right now.
I see now.
These submunitions, these round ones, have those all-way acting fuses. You shake it, it can go off. You kick it, it can go off. You move it, it can go off. They're supposed to go off when they strike the ground, and that's why they're shaped that way, and it can kind of, it doesn't really matter. It's not like a
pressure
plate.
You know what it's filled with? You know what it's filled with? It's filled with a bunch of titanium ball bearings in it. The ball is literally full of titanium ball bearings and an explosive in the center. So when it goes off, it just shoots ball bearings everywhere. Ball bearings is not going to go through buildings and brick walls and all that stuff when it's from such a little blast. Yep. It's literally designed to just kill people in mass, like over this one KH-101 spread clusters over half a kilometer.
Yeah, that's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
And yeah, people are like still like, oh, but they bombed their planes. Like, really?
It's disgusting, man. It's absolutely disgusting what Russia's been doing. And I'm going to go look into that Boeing thing here in a little bit. And I'm going to try to pay attention a little bit more to what's going on over there, because I know that they're getting their teeth kicked in inside Sumy. I just haven't, truthfully, with all the BS that's been going on over the last 5 days, haven't been able to get back into it. This is wild that they actually spread these over civilian population. Like, this is what you look at. This is what you define as war crime. You know what I mean? Like, look at the field. Yeah,
that comes right after Trump just said that maybe it was a bad idea to kick Russia out of the G8 and turn it into the G7. Literally a few hours after Trump said that live on TV, that Putin really just, you know, he just wants the best for his country and all of that nonsense that he was chatting over there in Canada. I'm sorry, that was a few hours later. Mm-hmm. They launched over 600 suicide and kamikaze drones, ballistic Kinzhal missiles, and a lot of KH-55 and KH-101 cruise missiles. Dude. It's ridiculous.
And yeah, that one that ended up slamming right into the apartment building, I should probably show that to people, because that's freaking nuts, to be honest. You know, Jesus, look at that.
You know, there's this morning, unfortunately, there's photos that cannot be shown, because there's a photo of an apartment building and there's just people that literally got blown out of their building and just humans laying on the ground in the street all over, like, just while they were sleeping, and they weren't walking on the street. They didn't drive by accidentally near a military post or something.
Did I lose you, buddy?
No, I'm here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. See, jeez. There's Kiev.
That's pretty wild to be using anti-personnel munitions, trying to claim that it's taking out hard targets with it. That's insane.
Slamming a Shahid drone into the 14th story of an apartment building with literal only apartment buildings around is in saying that you're going after military targets only. Is,
are they going after
ridiculous.
Senior leadership of Ukraine? Like, did they have intel that these guys were in there? Did they make any statements like that? Did they come out with anything whatsoever that you're aware of?
No, there is not. Like, since mid 23, Ukrainian MOD, the higher ups, have been very, very strict about military personnel doing any sort of, like, we spoke about this offline already, like doing anything in like civilian populated areas.
Yep.
Like any sort of command posts or anything. It's very well known that Ukraine has to, when it comes towards the front line, there is always going to be villages that were civilian villages, and there's always one or two old timers that stick around, and there's military operations happening. But it's to say that you slammed in a drone onto the 14th floor of an apartment building and there might have been a military person there is ridiculous, because it's an apartment building, and you can see that drone wasn't aiming for that building because it didn't dive on the building. Because these Shahid drones, before they get to their target, they'll go up and they'll come in as a nosedive.
Mm-hmm.
This one looks like it was just on his path, but it was on a low altitude path.
No, it just went for a random place in the building.
The building was in the way of that drone. It didn't try to hit that building, and it didn't look like it was targeted that building, to my opinion. In my opinion, that drone is just on a path that was pre-planned into that drone. That's how Shahids work. They get a pre-planned flight path.
Flight path.
And and that building was just higher than the altitude that the drone was flying at and just mm-hmm. went right into the side of it.
Yep. You know, it's one thing when you take like a precision guided munition that only knocks out that one floor, it goes right through the window and that's that. It just kind of blows that little section out. It's another thing when you just slam an apartment building with a Shahid, and that's still on them, intentional or not. That one's on them, to be perfectly honest. Like it doesn't really matter when it comes to that law. Michael Snell said, God bless you guys. Best wishes, Matt. Thanks. Takes and Rob. I confused a little bit. Tristan Allen, God bless Matt. And what happened to the guy that decided to hit you in the protest? Oh, that guy was a wuss, man. Yeah. Did you see any of those, man?
You want to get? I did. I heard you say, come get some. The minute you said that, I said, I pray to God that guy does something.
So did I, man. So, like, I went up to that guy that was like, that guy that was like yelling at the cop, and I was like, why are you calling him a B, dude? And he's like, oh, I mean, just, you know, like fascism and whatever. And then he figured out that I was making fun of him. Like his brain was that far gone, you know, like, hey, dude, it's your freaking problem.
I heard you scream at the cops, I support you. And that guy turns, the guy from behind you said something to you, and he said, why, you want some? Come get some. And the minute you said that, I was like, I wish the guy doesn't realize, like, you know, those people that they don't check themselves. They don't check themselves before they do something stupid, and then they find out.
well, what you did, I don't know if you saw me doing the interview with those communists, like when I went up over and I was interviewing the communists.
Okay, so that's
first, let me tell you about that guy. So that idiot that yelled at me from inside the bar, like that opened the door and yelled at me when I was making fun of that guy that was like screaming at the cop. And he sat there and tried talking to me or whatever and started accusing me of everything else. That's when the guy from the bar came outside. And the mic didn't pick up on it, but he was talking crap to me. Then I'm like, whatever, dude. And just kind of ignore him. And then as I sit there and I yell that I support the cops, he actually came out and he threatened to whoop my ass, told me to leave, that I'm not wanted there, told me it was a public sidewalk, and threatens to whoop my ass. And that's when I'm like, bring it, bitch. Like, what are you going to do? You want to fight? You want to throw down? Come on, let's go. You know? And just ignored him. When I started arguing with those communists, like the literal communist party out of Denver, that dude started like spitting a bunch of tequila at me. And I'm like, I'm not trying to listen to your bullshit, man. You know, like whatever, start saying facts. When he loses the argument, he turns around. He's like, hey, this guy supports the genocide in Gaza. And I'm like, really, dude, that's your freaking move? And some fat, worthless slob comes over like, your odds aren't looking very good, man. I wish I had like that dude mic'd up, but I'm not going to give a commie my mic. I'm not going to chase down a $300 mic, you know? And I'm like, bro. Good luck. I wish you well. And then the communists started to stand around me and I just ignored them. And they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. What's up, man? Sorry, who's in here? Who's trying to come up? What you got?
I was just saying that it probably wasn't going to be that long.
It wasn't going to be what?
Probably wasn't going to be a very long chase.
No, it wasn't. No, not at all. And that's the other thing I noticed about these guys is they were all about their chest puffing. And if somebody else wanted to throw down, they would have tried. But person that was with me, I'm like, yo, I'm going to, if I go to the hospital, that's fine. But I promise you like 3 to 5 of these dudes are going with me, situation dependent. You know, if I get stabbed in the kidney from behind, that's one thing. But I actually had somebody that was watching my back that I don't think they were aware of. So it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty wild that you went out there. I wish you would have been a little bit more prepared with the internet thing, because I was raging when your internet was buffering and your stream
was trying,
I was like,
man.
Finally, he's live. I know. I was like, finally, he's live. And then your internet was buffering and I was raging.
I didn't want to take a nice camera out there because I didn't want to lose like a $5,000 setup. You know what I mean? I don't want to lose the lens. I don't want to lose the camera body. I don't want to lose any of that crap. Not to mention, I've got like a bunch of freaking commies that are out there that are just going to want to break that stuff. And I know I'm going to be talking smack. Phone's a little bit better. I had 5G shooting in 4K. What I need to do is get like a nice gimbal for my phone for when that stuff starts coming up again. Because as soon as the U.S. goes into Iran officially and starts bombing the living hell of them officially, you know they're taking back to the streets. And I'm going to make damn sure I go over there and talk smack to those hippies, because screw them. That's why. Michael Snell says, just horrible to hear. Can't bless you guys enough. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, but one of the dudes, you know, they ended up blocking off the street from like the state troopers. And I was over there like just originally, you know, streaming them blocking off the troopers or taking videos. I can't remember if I was streaming at the time or if I just took videos. And then it kind of looked like they all just kind of like piddled away. Like the trooper played it off like a champ, acted like he was directing traffic for a minute, got in his car and then left. And they're all like, yay, we did it. And there's like 10 of these freaking hippies out there. And there was a guy with like a rainbow colored umbrella that was over in the freaking front and just stand there in the middle. But he was one of the ones that I noticed that was just shouting at the freaking troopers when he was over there, telling them to go away. So I end up like going up to this guy and ask him like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why do you care? Like, what are the cops doing? What did they do wrong? Are they harassing you? Are they doing anything? No. Okay. Just like, why are you in the middle of the street? Like, he's like, he originally went to go start talking to me and his wife told him to stop. His wife's like, maybe you shouldn't be talking to this guy, you know? And then the guy just kind of ignored me and stood there. I'm like, look, dude, you're standing in the street. You don't want to make a statement. You're going to make a statement. And he just kind of like ignored me. And so he held his umbrella up kind of to where I was. So I knelt down and put it underneath. And then he lowered his umbrella and went and popped me in the freaking face with it. So I ended up like shoving it back into him. And my friends got the video of that sucker of me like popping him back. And he's like, oh, you assaulted me. I was like, oh, yeah? He's like, I'm going to call the cops on you. I was like, freaking do it, bro. Call the cops. Because I just live streamed that shit in front of like 4,000 people that were watching. Please, please call the cops so I can press assault charges. Do it. Like, I will whoop your ass. Bring it. You know? So I hate those people, man. With like all internal passion. A lot of them are just really dumb and misinformed. There's people there that were handing out flyers to go protest like one of Trump's kids that was like coming into town to give like a fundraiser. It was like a gala fundraiser. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go protest him. And I was like, okay, cool. What's he raising money for? And they're like, we don't know. I'm like, none of you guys know what he's,
I was
like,
what Trump just tweeted,
what he put out
social. This is the thing. We now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran. Iran had good sky trackers and other defensive equipment and plenty of it, but it doesn't compare to American made conceived and manufactured stuff. Nobody does it better than the good old USA.
Yeah, he ain't wrong.
He said we.
Yeah, I know. I tried to tell people that we were already over the skies of Iran and nobody wanted to listen to me. They're like, CENTCOM didn't say it. Nobody else did. It's like, okay, well, I'm telling you that my sources are saying that we have birds over the frickin' skies. Just FYI, you know? So,
somebody please explain to the kooky Tucker Carlson that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, that's
Donald J. Trump.
Yeah, no, Trump's got some killers. Yep. Here's his tweet. DOD ended up just putting it out. We now have complete and total control of the skies over Iran. Iran has a good sky trackers. You guys just heard Texas read it. So there it is.
That's wild.
We've already established control, which means American bombs are about to start falling. And that comes from the DOD rapid response, not just Trump, but the DOD itself is now confirming it as well. Go ahead.
Just yeah. 3 minutes ago, the Israeli military believes it will reach its goals against Iran's nuclear program within 1 or 2 weeks. And there's just a pass from OSINT.
Good.
Crazy. This is.
That being said, that's kind of one of the questions I was going to lead on to is, you know, so whenever we went into Iraq, you know, the air war that we posed on them, like, you know, completely destroyed everything that they had within a matter of days, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess so for me, I would like to almost understand why the U.S. has taken so much time. I mean, we had the 60 days of preparation, so to speak, whenever, you know, we originally warned them. I would like to see us just go in there a lot harder than we have. I know Israel mostly has been given Iran the business, but whenever you compare it to that air war that we did in Iraq, I feel like we capability-wise could have already eliminated, you know, from Navy to all air defenses, mm-hmm. you know, that Iran has right now. So why are we kind of just taking it easy right
around?
Now?
Well, we were letting Israel handle it. In my opinion, we were letting Israel handle it. We can't afford, like Trump gave Iran the opportunity not to target U.S. interests in the region. They came damn close. And like the angle of error on those ballistic missiles, it might as well have been a direct hit. It wasn't, but you don't know that that's not what they're aiming at to take out. And so
yeah,
now
we know their shit isn't perfect.
Right. So it could have very well been aiming at like the consulate over inside of Tel Aviv. The drones falling out of the sky being shot down over Erbil are very telling. And so it looked to me like, yeah, Iran decided to open up on the U.S., which we easily predicted, right?
Yeah, I think what they did is they didn't want to hit the actual embassy because they knew that that was going to be a really bad idea. So they were like, you know what? What's the next best thing that we can kind of try to hit that it's not going to be that very, very bad idea is like, oh, let's hit the old embassy, which is only a consulate and a small office now. And they still missed because their stuff isn't as accurate. We know that because even on targets like military bases that they were able to hit, they weren't able to hit their targets on those bases. They were still off by quite a little bit. So they might have aimed for that building and just missed by a little bit. And
yeah,
and it was also that one super hypersonic new version of their stuff that they fired at it. It was that one or two of them that got through. Was the one that hit that area.
Yeah.
I actually spoke to my uncle who lives in Tel Aviv, and the synagogue that he goes to every Saturday and almost like it's a walking distance from his house was also hit, and it's within that area exactly, like of that area of Tel Aviv. I don't know. I think that the only reason why people in the United States are being like, hey, maybe not bomb Iran, hey, Trump, you said that it's no more wars and all that, are because Israel's involved. Well, if it had nothing to do with Israel, if it was like any other thing, then they would have been all for it.
Russia, or, you know, or maybe not right that.
Back. I got a call.
Okay. No, I mean, that said it right there. We knew they were going to do that, that they're probably going to target us.
Right.
And there's just a lot of things that I'm seeing like that. They're just now moving that that Nimitz into the area, you know. And I'm like, well, if we knew that this was all going to take place and we apparently, you know, allowed Israel to start bombing, not that we allowed, but gave the go ahead, I guess, to start on that 61st day, we should have already had all these Arleigh Burghs and destroyers in the area, you know. And we could have maybe even prevented a few more of these bombs from even hitting down. And I'd like to see us just get in there, fucking handle business, and then, you know, business is handled, we can move on. And I also, something that I was wondering is with us, if we're, once Iran, all this Iran stuff is done, they're going to have to rebuild, refigure out their government and stuff. And I almost wonder if this is kind of the beginning of the end of all this, you know, world stage stuff. Even with Ukraine and Russia, I know that Texas had mentioned that Russia has been getting its parts for the drones from China and stuff, but I still guarantee they're using Iran to help push their oil through and stuff because they don't have enough refineries to refine their crude oil.
They're getting a lot. They're getting, Russia's got plenty of oil, right? But they're getting a lot of those drone parts and things for the Shahids from Iran. Like that one that smashed into the building that we just showed, that apartment complex over inside Kiev, a lot like that came from Iran.
So,
and in the first couple days, Israel started blowing up those factories.
Intel on that real quick. So according to Ukrainian sources that I spoke to, personally, most current version of the Shahid drones are completely manufactured in Russia within like the body, the shells, the components, the warhead and all of that stuff. The only thing that they couldn't get from, or they didn't get from China yet, like parts or domestically produced for it, is the powertrain, like the motor, propeller,
That's
controls
weird.
For the thing. So they still been getting that from Iran. So it did help because I was like, yeah, most of the parts are from China and it won't even make a difference that Iran's factories are being bombed at this point. But apparently, according to some intel that people that I spoke to that have this intel, are saying that one of the most important parts they are still getting from Iran, which is the engines and the turbine version and the propeller version engines and the controls for the elevators and ailerons or whatever.
Yeah, that's basically what I heard was that we were getting those components and stuff from Iran, and we ended up it's said that Israel ended up blasting those factories in the first couple days. I find that personally over the last 24 or 18-ish hours. Right. Like ever since Trump ended up coming out with that statement warning everybody to evacuate and everything else, the ballistic missile threat coming out of Iran has slowed drastically, right? Even though the U.S. didn't officially announce jack, slowed down drastically. So now with those additional assets in the region.
Do you think we're hitting targets
already? Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think the U.S. is hitting targets?
Yeah, I do.
I would think so too. I was like, between me and you, you could do the math. How many bombs have been dropped in Iran this week? A lot.
A ton.
Fighter jet. They're not bombers. Israel doesn't have bombers. They have fighter jets. Those fighter jets, it's such a long flight time, even with aerial refueling and external fuel tanks, they don't carry more than, if they're carrying larger bombs, they'll have two. If they carry smaller bombs, they'll have four to six per fighter jet. That is... You have to, like, the amount of bombs that have been dropped, I'm not going to, like, say it out loud because I don't want to, like, you know, tickle the elephant in the room. But I really think that there is something more than just Israeli fighter F-16s and F-18s and F-35s dropping bombs over there. That's just my personal opinion. Yep. But, again, I think the day will come out and they'll be like, you know, the United States likes to say, oh, we've been doing that, like the same thing they did to the Houthis. They didn't say, oh, we're going to bomb the Houthis. We announced that we're going to bomb the Houthis. No, they said, yeah, we've been bombing the Houthis for the last 2 weeks after they've been bombing the Houthis for a while, you know?
Yeah, it's not telegraphing your next movement. That's exactly. Yeah. It's just knocking things out and then coming out with it. We're not telegraphing what we're doing. Michael Snell says, God bless you guys. Best of luck, Matt, Texas, and Rob. Tom Bones, regardless of what we just do, as long as it's not nation building, we will be okay. We're stuck at nation building. We're not doing nation building on this go around, brother. I promise you that. It's just not going to happen. Thank you guys for your donations that you ended up gifting out there. To me, it is very obvious that the U.S. is just like going to take on Fordow. I think that's the U.S.'s role, the U.S.'s mission. Iran gave us a great opportunity in order to do so. So good job, Iran. You screwed up because now we're going to go take out Fordow, you know, and we're going to take out a hell of a lot more stuff as well. U.S. is doing an incredible job. It's funny last night when I ended up putting that information out, people are like, ah, this is warmongering. This is fake news. You're lying. I'm like, nope, I'm not lying. I just happen to know people. It's just how it works, man. So that's good.
I'm going to get out of here, Matt. I appreciate you guys listening to me. If you can, just make a note on, do you think this is going to be the beginning of the end of a lot of the stuff on the world stage? And then I'll let somebody else get in here.
Is it going to be the beginning to the end of the world? I don't think. Yeah, I think that. I mean, by world stage, do you mean like the world stage for Russia? Is that what you're referring
Ukraine,
to?
Ukraine, Israel, like it's a fight against these proxy forces. That's probably going to come to end. I think Russia is going to be hurting a lot more after this.
I mean, I don't think we're going to have an end to the proxy forces, to be honest. I don't think it's going to be an end to the proxy forces. Proxy war is going to be a thing. Like, that's just how it's going to go for a while here. Just like JFK ended up calling out back in like the 60s that like the insurgencies and the terrorism is like the new tactic that's going to be coming out. Proxy wars are like the new thing. Because nations want to be able to control what's going on without getting directly involved. They'd rather fund other people in order to do it. So I don't think that's going to go anywhere. And I don't think Russia, because I got asked this 1,000 times over in the chat, and I get DMs over on Twitter, a ton of them while I'm streaming, ask me whether or not I think Russia is going to respond and or intervene in this. No, I don't. I don't think Russia is going to do a dang thing. Texas, agreed?
I don't think Russia has the capability to do that right
Thank
now
you.
If they want to keep doing anything in Ukraine. You could see it with Assad. I think that, like, personally, Assad was a closer ally to Russia because Russia did go to war for that guy.
Yep.
Russia physically went to war and sent troops and built bases and did airstrikes and had, like, full war in Syria. They didn't do that for Iran. So I don't think they're going to jump on it right now. I don't think they did it for Syria because they didn't have the capabilities to do it right now. They're busy. They're occupied. 30% or 35% of their strategic bombers have been destroyed now. You have 2 years worth of cruise missile supplies have been destroyed. Mm-hmm. Probably a year and a half worth of ammunition that have been sent from North Korea and from their old stockpiles have been destroyed in the last 12 months. So I don't think they're going to get involved. I think they're going to talk. It's going to be like Trump said, I spoke to Putin and he wants to mediate a deal. There is no deal to be mediating. We all know Iran is going to have a regime change. It's just a matter of when and who it's going to be taking over.
Yeah. So, put this out there. It just came out that Ahmadinejad, former president, ended up getting assassinated today over inside of Iran by some masked gunmen. I haven't verified that. I haven't seen official statements, but just so you guys know, that's what's floating around. And I got to answer this right here. Sergeant Major Dale M. here, 5th Group, 89, 2015. I swear we went to Sephardic or Stoic at the same time. I don't know, man. I don't think so. Sergeant Major from 5th Group. Dale. I don't know, brother. I don't think so. I don't think so.
So, real Sam, quick on a third
Sam,
topic.
Hold on, real quick. Sam just came in and he said, okay. Sent you some desperation tactics from Iran on Signal. Okay, cool. I'll take a look at that, Sam. Thanks, brother. I just heard it beep in my ear, too, so that means they're there, and everybody else heard it beep as well. All right, go ahead, Texas. This will be the last one, and then I gotta close out, my friend.
Yeah, so China. So real quick on China. So obviously we saw that statement that China, the Xi Jinping, whatever his name is, said the world can move on without the United States. 100 years ago, the British Empire dominated global commerce, commanding more than 20% of the world's wealth. Many believe the sun will never set. 200 years ago, friends, whatever. He goes on and on. It's a long statement. And he's basically saying that the world can go on without the U.S. That's last night, this morning, came out. Your favorite person that is breathing borrowed air, named Jackson Hinkle, is just made a tweet or whatever he wrote. Dear China, please take Taiwan now, or something like that. Because like everything is happening, so he made like a dear China, please take Taiwan. So that side of things is cooking off as well. Basically, like China is just saying like, Trump, we don't care what you said. The world can move on without you, or something like that. That's just this morning.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, Nate's in here, or he was in here. He's still in here.
Okay. Well, I'm about to jump off. I got to. Just with the way things are rolling, this daddy time this year. MT says Trump just tweeted that we have total control of the skies. Tracking. We went over that live. I think he realizes Israel is fine without our boots, but they're doing such a good job. He wants some of the credit. No, I disagree. I think Trump's just sticking to his word. Don't target our interests. Leave us the hell out of it. And Iran chose not to. And now they're reaping the benefit of that today. And they're going to continue to reap the benefit of that. That would be my take on it. So that's what I think, man. That's where I'm at. But unfortunately, guys, I got to close this out. It was a great live session. I appreciate all you guys for jumping in here. But I am going to go ahead and close this sucker out because I have to take a whiz and I have a bunch of other things I got to get accomplished here in the next little bit. All right.
I'm going to send you a message real quick on Signal.
Okay, perfect.
I'll just, yeah. All right.
Okay, I'll read it and we'll touch chat. Base.
Well, cheers, yeah.
All right, cheers, brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you guys. If you haven't yet, make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Please consider becoming a true supporter and keep your notifications turned on just in case some wild stuff starts happening today. If you guys see me go live anytime before 9 p.m. Central Standard, it's going to mean that there's something significant happening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.